The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Today in Sports Betting for Wednesday, June 22nd. I'm your host, Doug Reed. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. That's R-E-I-D-34. This is a Sports Ethos presentation. And if you haven't checked this out already, please go to our website at SportsEthos. That's ethos.com. You can see some of our packages and our information there. I'm part of our wagering group. And for $15 a month, that's right, just $15 a month, you can get access to all our plays, access to our Discord, which is worth the money alone. We get plays dropped in there every night. A lot of chat from our handicappers, a lot of chat from our members, and just a fun group. And you can chat or you can just watch it and not chat, but a lot of information shared in there on a nightly basis across all different sports. So definitely worth your while. Also, if you're on Twitter, we have a tennis handicapper who's been lights out lately. He's just been fantastic this year. His name is Fish Fisher. You can find him on Twitter at Fish_Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R. Been doing really well. And if tennis is your game, a little different angle here at Sports Ethos as we grow our brand, check Fish out. We're also expanding our fantasy baseball and fantasy football. And I think that does relate to wagering as well because you get a lot of insight, game day insight into these games. So if you're into that, check out Ethos Fantasy BB for baseball and Ethos Fantasy FB for football. Two Twitter accounts, but also we have fantasy podcasts around both those sports too. In baseball, you can find our MLB Today podcast, and football, you can find our Fantasy Football Today podcast. And just getting those up and running. Baseball's running all season. Joe Arrico, who's running that, is doing a good job. And JP Sticko's doing, I think, about 3 days a week, but he's ramping up our fantasy football side too. So can't wait for that to get going later in the summer, full time and into the fall. So before we get going, though, do you want to talk about one of our primary partners here at Thrive Fantasy? It's T-H-R-I-V-E Fantasy. Basically a prop game. You can prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or go to thrivefantasy.com. When you get there, so when you sign up, use the code ETHOS, E-T-H-O-S. You can get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100, plus either two or four free game tickets. Basically, you pick the player props and the biggest names each night, score points when they hit, and the players with the most points at the end of the night win the nightly prize. Again, that's thrivefantasy.com. So onto the diamond, we have 15 games on the diamond and game four in the NHL later on the show I'll touch on, and a very interesting Stanley Cup so far. But we start in the East in baseball today. Major League are going early with a few games, 210 in the East. We have the New York Mets at the Astros. You can get the Mets at plus 120, the Astros at minus 140. Total here 8.5. You have Carlos Carrasco, the righty on the hill for the Mets. Luis Garcia, the righty on the hill for the Astros. I didn't touch this game. I like the Astros straight up, but there's just not a lot of value in any of those numbers. And so stay away from me. The next game, also 210 in the East, is the Jays looking to avoid the sweep against the White Sox on the south side. You've got righty Ross Stripling on the hill for the Jays. You can get them at minus 120. You've got righty Lucas Giolito on the hill for the Sox. You can get them at even plus 100, plus 130 on the Jays run line. Total here is 9. This is a back-and-forth game that went in extra innings yesterday. The White Sox pulled out after a great starting matchup between Gausman and Cease. Fell apart after they exited the game. I'm not on this game either. I would lean the Jays, I guess, straight up because Giolito's been struggling a little, but Stripling coming out of the pen, he's not probably going, well, not necessarily out of the pen, but he's rotated between long reliever and starter. Probably not long for the game, and then the Jays' bullpen's been a little shaky lately. So this game's a stay. Total of 9. I would probably look to the over there, but stay away from me as well. First game I'm going to be on is 4-5 in the East. We have Philadelphia, and they're in Texas. You have Phillies starting righty Zach Wheeler against the Rangers righty John Gray. And they come in. Phillies, you can get them minus 140 in the money line. Gray and the Rangers plus 120. Total here is 7.5, so they're expecting a pitcher's duel. You can get the Phillies at minus 120 on the run line. And both these pitchers have been doing fairly well this year. I think Gray's a little overrated. Wheeler comes in with a 1.04 whip, 2.69 ERA, 78 strikeouts and 70 in a third innings. John Gray, 1.2, respect to 1.2 whip, 4.27 ERA, 63 Ks in 59 innings. So both guys just over a K per inning. I just like the Phillies' bats a whole lot better than Texas, especially going against Gray. I think Wheeler is turning into, if it's not him, it's Nola, but kind of a 1-1A ace on the Phillies. And John Gray, the story with him is he's always pitched way better away from Colorado. He's away from Colorado now, and he's doing all right, but nothing that really overly impresses me. So for me, I'm going to be on the Phillies at minus 140 is the best price that I could find for them. Next game is in San Diego, and we have Arizona there. Arizona starts lefty Madison Baumgartner. You can get them plus 145 on the money line. And the Padres go with righty Mike Clevinger, minus 165. Total here is 7.5. Low-scoring game expected. You can get the Padres at minus 1.5 and the run line at plus 135. I don't know if this is going to be a low-scoring game because I don't think either of these pitchers are pitching particularly well. I think it's more low-scoring because of the bats. You've got Baumgartner coming in with a 1.32 whip, 70 in the third innings, only 48 strikeouts. I mean, that's not his MO or his career. 3.45 ERA is decent. Clevinger coming back from Tommy John this year has only pitched 19 innings, 1.26 whip, 22 strikeouts, 19 innings, 3.79 ERA. I like Clevinger better straight up. Machado's still out of the lineup for the Padres, so I think this is more a call on the weak hitting lineups of both. I like the Padres. 165 is a little steep for me to take. I might look at the run line at plus 135 because I think they win, and I think they get the Baumgartner. I was also looking at the Padres on their team total. Let me just pull up the team totals here. I think it was a little too steep. So the Padres over 4.5, plus 105. I might look at that. That's not too steep for sure. I was hoping it was going to be around 4. Might look at the Padres to be able to get to Baumgartner. The problem is without Machado in the lineup, that lineup all of a sudden becomes a little thinner. When you look, they've got – so Baumgartner's a lefty. You've got Profar leading off. You've got Jake Cronin, who's a switch hitter. Jake Cronenworth, a lefty, hitting second but doing much better lately. Voit's a righty. When Jose Alfaro's your cleanup hitter, a righty, you know you're not exactly in a strong position. Ha-Seong Kim is a righty. Austin Nola, the catcher's a righty. Trent Grisham is a lefty and been struggling. Jose Azokar is a righty. And C.J. Abrams, the young shortstop, is a lefty. So there lies the problem. Can they get to 4-plus runs? I'm not sure. The regular lineup, absolutely. But with this lineup, I'm not exactly sure. So probably stay away from me here. Next game sees Colorado in Miami again. And you get Colorado behind there. Righty Chad Kuhl at plus 170 in the money line. You get Pablo Lopez in Miami. He's a righty at minus 200 on the money line. Total here 7.5. You can get the fish on the run line at plus 120. I like Miami. I like Lopez, although he hasn't pitched quite as well lately, which is interesting because everybody looks to him as one of their – him and Alcantara. I think Alcantara is pitching better, but everybody considers him a close second probably. And the fact of the matter is, over his last few games, so I look at his game log, he lost to the Mets 5 1/3 innings, 8 hits, 6 earned runs, a walk, 5 strikeouts. One before that, 4 1/3 against Houston, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. Game before that, Giants, 7 innings, 4 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. He shut Colorado down at Colorado over 6 innings, 3 hits, no runs, which is very impressive in Colorado, but did give up 4 walks and 5 strikeouts. And then against the Rays, game before that, 7 innings, 9 hits, 4 earned runs, no walks, and 8 strikeouts. So he's given up in his last 5 outings, 6 earned runs, 2 earned runs, 4 earned runs, 0, and 4, and even 3 the game before that against Washington. So he seems to be hitting a little bit of a road bump as we close in on what 40% of the year has passed. And Chad Kuhl's been decent this season. So at that numbers, minus 200, there's no way I can back them. I don't like Colorado on the road. So not sure there's a play here. There might be some value at the Rockies at plus 170 if they can get to Lopez at all and Chad Kuhl can hold the fish in line. But a little too gutsy a play for me. Next game is in Cincinnati where we have the Dodgers continuing their series against the Reds. And you get righty or lefty Tyler Anderson on the hill for Dodgers who are coming at minus 150. Righty Luis Castillo in the Reds at plus 130. Total here is 9.5. So obviously a lot of runs are expected to be scored. And you can get the Dodgers on the run line at minus 105, obviously at plus 105. That might be the play. I like the Dodgers straight up. Anderson's been pitching well, but when I looked into his lines a little more, it's kind of interesting when you see who he's been going against. His numbers are fantastic. He's 8-0, kind of like same as Tony Gonsolin who pitched yesterday. Trying to just pull up his numbers. Yeah, 8-0. 2.82 ERA, 0.94 whip, 67 innings, 63 strikeouts, and 11 walks. He's been doing really well. But when I dug into his numbers a little more, it's interesting the teams he's faced recently. So he shut down the Angels, 1 earned run over 8 1/3. The White Sox got to him, 4 earned runs over 3 innings. Shut down the Mets, 6 innings. 3 hits, no earned runs. Shut down Arizona, which 0 earned runs over 6 innings. Shut down Washington, 0 earned runs over 8 innings. Arizona gave up 2 earned runs over 7 innings. And Philly got knocked around a little, giving up 7 earned runs over 6 innings. So, you know, the Angels, Arizona, Washington, and Arizona he's picked on. And not exactly the strongest bats in Major League Baseball. However, you have to give him credit. He went against those teams and completely shut them down. So he's pitching well. Cincinnati, I think, is a little bit above them, especially above those bats that I just named, especially at home when the ball flies out in a hot night, which it will be tonight in Cincinnati, hence the 9.5 over. And the Dodgers have been struggling lately. They're barely a 500 team over the last 20 games. So I like them to win. I don't have a lot of faith in Luis Castillo. He's had some good outings, some bad outings, and certainly a trade candidate for the Reds. But I'm not exactly sure I'm going to lay 150 with the Dodgers. Don't really like laying that money or that run line either in Great American Ballpark where anything can happen. So stay away for me. Next game of the night is in Pittsburgh. And we get the Cubs in town. Just trying to find the pitchers here. We get the Cubs in town at minus 130. The home Pirates at plus 110. I've got Keegan Thompson on the hill for the Cubs, the righty. I've got Jared Eichhoff on the hill for the Pirates, the righty there. But then I'm also showing Zach Thompson. So I'm going to just try and hit refresh, see if that updates at all. But we have a total of 9. So if number of runs expect to be scored. And we've got the Pirates on the run line at minus 1. No, sorry, the Cubbies on the run line at plus 130. So I hit the reset, and I still have Eichhoff. So I'm not exactly sure of the pitcher. This game's a stay away from me anyway. I think the Pirates won the first two in this series. But with these with Keegan versus Eichhoff or Keegan against Thompson, I don't really have a feel which way this game's going either way. 9 runs seems a lot to me. I guess it's indicative of poor pitching, but PNC is not a hitter-friendly park, and neither of these lineups. Although Pittsburgh's hit well in the last few games, but such a small sample list. I would maybe lean to the under at minus 105. Next game of the night at 7:05 in Baltimore, I am on. You have the Nationals and Patrick Corbin at plus 130, their last game on the money line, and Tyler Wells and the Orioles, they're ready at minus 150. total here is 9, so some runs expected to be scored, and you can get the O's at plus 135 on the run line. And what I'm on here is I'm on the first five over. I see it over 5 at plus 100, over 4.5 about minus 118. So Camden Yards has become more of a pitcher-friendly park since they moved the fences back, but the O's have been hitting lately, and this season I've been on the fade the Patrick Corbin train if you've been listening to my show or following me on our wager pass. So I'm actually considering the over 5 plus 100. And then I'm also on the Orioles team total. I got over 5 at – sorry, over 4.5 at minus 115. And that's purely just a call against Patrick Corbin. You know, he has been brutal this year, to say the least. His numbers, when I pull them up, 3-9 in the season, 69.2 innings pitched. Over that time, a 6.59 ERA, 1.78 whip, 57 strikeouts, and 27 walks. He's on a big contract. The Nats have to pitch him. They got nobody else. They're not contending this year, so they're just throwing him out there, and they're letting him go. Last game against Philly, well, they only went 3 1/3, 8 hits, 9 runs, 2 earned, a walk, 2 strikeouts. 6 innings against Milwaukee. Games before that, oddly enough, he won. 6 innings against Milwaukee, 7 hits, 4 earned runs. 6 innings against Cincinnati at Cincinnati, 9 hits, 3 earned runs. Lost to the Mets, 4 1/3, 12 hits, 7 earned runs. Colorado, 6 1/3, 7 hits, 3 earned runs. Milwaukee, 5 innings, 8 hits, 5 earned runs. Houston, 6 innings, 6 hits, 5 earned runs. So he's given up, not as far as runs in a game, 9, 4, 3, 7, 3, 5, and 5 in his last 7 outings. Not going well for Mr. Corbin. Now, Baltimore obviously is not a juggernaut of an offense, but they have been hitting a little better lately. And Tyler Wells has been pitching decent. 59 2/3 innings this year, his record's 4-4, 1.07 whip, 3.62 ERA, 36 strikeouts. So not getting, he's pitching to contact, and so far he's had some success at that. And Washington's got a decent lineup. If all their players are there, which everybody's in the lineup. So he's a righty. He's going against Cesar Hernandez, a switch hitter. Soto's a lefty. Bell's a switch hitter. Nelson Cruz is a righty. Luis Garcia is a lefty. And Kay Ruiz, a switch hitter. Yadiel Hernandez, a lefty. Franco, a righty. And Lane Thomas, a righty. So I think they can put up some runs, and I'm pretty confident the O's can put up some runs against Patrick Corbin. Hence, I'm over on the over 5 and for the total first 5, and then I'm over 4.5 for the Baltimore team total as well, because I think they get the Corbin, as most teams seem to be doing. Okay, we'll take a quick break, and when we get back, we will run through the rest of tonight's card in the MLB before hitting on the Stanley Cup.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
All right, next game of the night sees the Yankees against Tampa Bay. Jordan Montgomery on the hill, lefty for the Yanks. You can get them minus 150. And young Shane Boz, a righty on the hill for the Rays at plus 130. Total here is 7, so pitcher's duel expected. And you can get the Yankees on the run line at plus 150. I actually like the Yankees, just can't lay 150. Shane Boz is a very good young pitcher, but he's going against the Yankees lineup. And I think anybody's going to struggle. Obviously, anybody's going to struggle. So I just can't, and I don't really want to lay the Yankees run line either here, even though it's a plus money at plus 115. I'm not going to bank on Boz going out and shutting down the Yankees. I'm not going to bank on anybody doing that. Even a good young pitcher, they haven't seen before. But Montgomery's been pitching well himself, so should be an interesting game. The number's a little too low for me, a total of 7 involving the Yankees. Hard to ever bank that because you know they can put up 4 or 5 runs easily. Montgomery in the year, 72 and two-thirds innings, 0.95 whip, 2.72 ERA, just 11 walks, but 56 strikeouts. So not striking out a lot of guys, but not walking a lot either. Boz only has 8 and a third innings, 9 strikeouts, 0.96 whip, 5.4 ERA. So kind of irrelevant on a small sample size, but he's a good prospect. Just can't go against the Yanks and don't want to back a young rookie against them. Next game is in Atlanta. We see Carlos Rodon for the Giants, the lefty on the hill, and you can get them on the money line at plus 120. You can get Charlie Morton, the righty, and the Braves at minus 140. Total here is 9, Braves run line plus 155. I'm actually inclined to back the Braves. Rodon has pitched decent in his last few outings, but a lot of his success has come against the weaker teams, and the Braves are just hitting well. The problem is the Braves don't I guess they're all right against lefties. They do all, so far to date this season, they've been decent against lefties, and they're in such a hot streak now. I mean, I think they can put up a lot of runs. Total here is 9, which is odd when you look at Rodon and Morton, two decent, what are perceived to be decent pitchers. But yesterday's game ended up Giants 12, Braves 10, and you want to hear a bad call. I was on the game total under 9. Talk about a, that's not even a bad beat. That's just a definition of a terrible call. Total under 9, and both teams got there individually. Giants scored 12, Braves scored 10. Hope you didn't tail me on that one. So I'm not on this game. I lean the Braves. Minus 140 is a little pricey for me. Run line plus 155, probably some value there. I'm not sure that they're going to be able to exploit Rodon all that much, although I do think they can get a few runs off him. Next game, which I think will be an interesting pitching matchup in Minnesota, you have young righty Tristan McKenzie on the hill, plus 140 for the Cleveland Guardians, and you've got veteran Sonny Gray, the righty, on the hill for the Twins at minus 160. Total here, 8.5. You can get the Twins in the run line, plus 135. I like the Twins. I like them to win. Gray's been pitching well, and the Twins' bats have come alive in the last month, but not at 160, minus 160. And McKenzie's pitched really well, so my fear in laying that much money is, or that much juice, is that he can have a good game and shut the Twins down. So 70 innings pitched this year, McKenzie, 0.93 whip, 2.96 ERA, 61 strikeouts, 19 walks. So a few too many. He's controlling his walks better. That was always his problem in the past, is he can throw some heat, but he'd be walking guys, and then he'd throw one down the middle and give up the long ball. And all of a sudden, he'd be giving up 3 or 4 runs a game. He hasn't been doing that so much this year. But not striking out as many guys either. The flip side is Gray on 38 and two-thirds innings, 0.93 whip, so the exact same whip, 2.09 ERA, 10 walks and 42 strikeouts. So he has been missing a few more bats. Again, I like Gray, 8.5 of anything. I might look to the under in this game. When I pull up the first 5, 4.5 is a number. Might look under 4.5 as well. So I think both these guys could do a good job on the hill. And I think I was looking at the no runs first inning. That's probably the one bet that I'm going to be on. I found it at minus 105. So two good pitchers going against two good lineups for sure, but not elite level lineups. So I think I'm going to be on the no runs first inning in this game at -105. Next game at 8:10 in the East, we see the Cardinals continue their series against their rivals from Milwaukee. You get lefty Eric Lauer on the hill for let's start with the Cards. My apologies. You get righty Adam Wainwright on the hill, and they come in as -105 underdogs. You get the home Brewers Eric Lauer, their lefty on the hill, -115. Total here is 9. And you can get the Brewers at +170 on the run line. Now, both these pitchers have been struggling lately. Their numbers on the season don't look bad. Wainwright, 79 in a third innings, 3.06 ERA, 1.24 whip, 60 strikeouts. Lauer comes in 68 innings, 3.57 ERA, 1.19 whip, with 72 strikeouts. So he's missing a few more bats. But when you pull up their game logs, they've been struggling a little bit lately, more so Lauer. He came out and he started the year in the pen, then got moved to rotation, and has been doing quite well. Was doing quite well, but seems to have slowed down a little lately. Lauer in his last few games, 6 1/3 against Cincinnati, 6 hits, 4 earned runs, 5 innings against Washington, 7 hits, 8 earned runs, 6 innings against the Padres, 6 hits, 3 earned runs. So he's been giving up a few more hits and a few more runs. The flip side of that is Wainwright's kind of been doing the same, just not as badly. So against Boston, 6 1/3 innings on June 17th, 7 hits, 4 earned runs against Cincinnati, 7 innings, 8 hits, 3 earned runs against the Cubbies in Chicago in early June, 7 innings, 9 hit, 2 earned runs. So he's given up more contact, still striking out a fair bit of batters, but hasn't been pitching as well as he was earlier. So both guys, and that's probably why we're seeing a total of 9 here in Milwaukee. The Brewers lineup hasn't been crushing it, but they've woken up in the last week or so, and the Cards are doing Cards things, although I think Goldschmidt's probably still out with a bad back, so that definitely hurts them. Not really sure which way to go, kind of stay away line for me. If anything, I would actually go to the Cards. At -105, I would probably take the Cardinals as the short underdog here. I just think Wainwright's pitching a little better than Lauer, but the Brewers lineup has woken up lately, so stay away game for me. Next game we see I'm scrolling back up, and I just realized I missed one of the games that I am on. I apologize for that. We have the Detroit 7:10. These Detroit Tigers are in Boston to face the Red Sox, and you get young lefty Tarik Skubal on the hill for the Tigers. They are +115, and you get righty Michael Wacha on the hill for the Red Sox -135. Total here is 8. You can get the Red Sox run line at +150. And what I'm on here is I'm on Boston money line. So it's at, what did I say, -135. I'm on that. I just think they're a better hitting team. I know Skubal's pitched well, but the Tigers are a terrible hitting team, especially against righties, which Wacha is. And then I'm also on the Boston team total. I see over 4.5 at +110 and over 4 at -110. Probably leaning to the over 4.5 at +110. Skubal comes in 74 and 2/3 innings, 3.13 ERA, 1.08 whip, 79 strikeouts, been doing really well. But Wacha seems to be reborn this year in Boston, 59 and a third innings, 2.28 ERA, 1.03 whip, and just 41 strikeouts. So pitching a little more to contact than Skubal has been, but still pitching well and managing the games very well. Now, when I pull up their game logs of recent, and this is why really I'm on Boston even more, is because Skubal's been hit around a little bit in the last few games. So June 17th against Texas, 5 innings, 8 hits, 5 earned runs, 2 walks. June 12th against Toronto, 4 innings, 7 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks. Pittsburgh, 7 innings, 6 hits, 3 earned runs. Minnesota, he held in check, 7 innings, 2 hits, no earned runs. But then Cleveland in late May, 7 innings, 5 hits, 3 earned runs. So in 4 of his last 5 starts, he's given up 3 earned runs or more. He's also given up a home run in three straight games. The Red Sox in Boston against a lefty. It's always a good formula to back the Sox at home, obviously. They've been playing really well. They've jumped the Rays. They're now in third, chasing the Jays down for second in the AL East. And the Tigers are scuffling. So I like Boston to win, and I like them to be able to get to Skubal for over 4 runs. So those are the plays that I'm on there. Back down to the second last game of the night at 9:40 in the East, we have the Seattle Mariners and the Oakland A's, which could actually be an oddly interesting pitcher's duel, as much as you never thought I'd say that. We have young righty George Kirby on the bump for the Mariners, and they're -135 as favorites. and Paul Blackburn, the righty at home, plus 115. Total here is 7, so not a lot of runs to be scored. You can get the M's on the run line at plus 135. Now, what's interesting, why I say this could be a pitcher's duel, when you look at these guys' numbers, especially Blackburn, they've been very good this year. Kirby, young pitcher, still a little inconsistent, not sure what you're going to get. 43 innings pitched, 41 strikeouts, 1.14 whip, very impressive. 3.56 ERA is definitely respectable. Blackburn, on the other hand, he's 6-2. I think the A's only have 24, 25 wins. So he's basically got a quarter of their wins. 6-2, 71 and two-thirds innings, 1.07 whip, 2.26 ERA, only 51 strikeouts. So he's pitching in contact, which you can get away with when you are in Oakland. And, you know, when I flipped this game, I'm on the M's. I'm on everybody against Oakland. Their offense is just so bad. But I'm not really sure I can go against Blackburn here. You know, the M's at minus 135. I don't want to back the Athletics at plus 115. They're scoring two or three runs a game. Yeah, I can't back anybody, even getting plus money behind Blackburn. I think he's pitching well. I don't think he's going to pitch to a 1.07 whip or 2.26 ERA the rest of the way. But I don't know that Oakland lights him up, although they lit up Oakland pitching yesterday. I don't know that Seattle lights him up, I meant to say. So not really on this game. I would lean the M's. Minus 135 is a little steep. Last game of the night should be an interesting game from pitching perspective as well. Daniel Lynch, the young lefty for the Kansas City Royals, is on the hill against the LA Angels with their ace, Shohei Ohtani, fresh off a big three-run home run to tie the game in the ninth inning yesterday. You get Lynch and the Royals at plus 200, Ohtani and the Angels at minus 240. Total here is 8. You can get the Angels at minus 120 on the run line. So Vegas, obviously, the books obviously think that this is an easy win for LA. And when you look quickly at the stats, why not? Daniel Lynch, 59 innings, 1.53 whip, ouch. 5.19 ERA, double ouch. 60 strikeouts, so he's striking out some guys, but 59 walks, which is not very good. Ohtani, on the flip side, is doing his Ohtani things. 16 to third innings, 1.09 ERA, 3.28 whip, 77 strikeouts and 15 walks. So definitely on the Angels here. Can't lay 240, and I'm not going to take a run line at minus 120. The fact of the matter is the Angels just are not hitting all that well either. You know, they've been against – they woke up – it seemed they woke up a couple weeks ago, but that was against pretty weak competition. And, yes, the Angels are weak competition. But they also don't hit that well against lefties. So I looked this up. The Angels against lefties, their batting average is .233, 23rd in the league. Their on-base percentage is .302, 25th in the league. And their slugging is .365, 26th in the league. Now, overall, they're a little bit better than that, especially their slugging. I think their slugging in the year is about .401, which puts them in the top 12 in the league. So they're just not hitting well against lefties. The Angels aren't. Ohtani's a lefty, obviously, although that doesn't really seem to faze him. So when one of your big bats is going against lefty, could be a challenge. I don't think Lynch is long for this game, so they get to the pen. So the lefty-righty matchup might not really matter. But I just can't back Lynch. You know, at first I thought, lefty going against the Angels, maybe there's some value, but I don't think there is a plus 200. That's a huge number with Ohtani on the hill, the way he's been pitching, the way Casey's been hitting. It should be an easy win. So can't lay the minus 240 and don't want to lay the juice to minus 120 in the run line. So off that game. So that wraps up the MLB card. We move to the ice in the NHL, game 4 of the Stanley Cup. So Colorado won the first two games in at home and went back into Tampa and got spanked 6-2. By the Lightning in game 3. So it's a 2-1 Colorado lead heading to Tampa or in Tampa for game 4. And I've seen this line. It's basically a pick 'em. The Avs minus 110, the money line, Lightning minus 110. I've seen the Avs as good as minus 103. And I've seen Tampa as good as minus 104. So shop around a little. I think I'm going to be in the Avs tonight. I think they bounce back. Total here is 6. It's gone over every game. But it's actually up to plus, when I see plus 105. So you can get plus money on the 6. I think people are thinking this game, this series is going to settle down. Colorado won 7-0 in the second game. Tampa Bay won 6-2. These two teams are much more evenly matched than that, so probably a close game, potential low scoring. But I don't know. All three games have went over the total so far. You can get the Avs on the puck lines. That means they got to win by 2 goals or more, plus 210. Definitely some value there. And if you're thinking the Avs are going to win, as I've said before, if they get up, if they're up by a couple goals in the third, There's a good chance Tampa's pulling their goalie early with like 3 or 4 minutes left, which leads to more opportunity to put the puck in the net, empty net goals. So in the playoffs, you tend to have the puck line come into play a little more often, I find. Not going to be on that. I think the Avs win tonight, but if they do, it's probably going to be a one goal game, overtime game, that kind of thing. So probably backing the Avs if I can get them around. I think the best I said was -103, and not going to touch the total. I would lean to the over, but going to be stay away from me. So 15 games in the diamond. Hopefully you found something to lean, something you like. A couple of no runs in the first inning in that Cleveland Minnesota game. Some team totals. Some game totals and some signs, and should be a great Stanley Cup game 4 if you're a hockey fan. And like I said at the start, you got to check out Fish Fisher at Fish_Fisher, FISHER. This guy is rocking in tennis here at Sports Ethos. Get our wager pass. You can get all Fish's plays in there. He's in our Discord all the time as well. Great dude and knows his tennis. And it's just, you know what, as basically we head into the summer, there's a few games left in the NHL, and then you've got Major League Baseball and, I guess, WNBA. Not a lot more going on. If you're a fantasy player, sure, there's a lot of chit-chat about football. There's a lot of baseball talk, obviously. But if you're looking for a sport other than baseball or in addition to baseball throughout the summer, why not jump on tennis? It's a fun sport, tournaments pretty much every weekend, and Fish is your guy. Check him out, Fish_Fisher on Twitter. Get in our wager pass, $15 a month. You can get all his plays. You can interact with him in our Discord. Well worth your money. So hopefully enjoy the games tonight and this afternoon. If you're watching this afternoon, a little hockey action. And I'm going to be waiting for Fish's plays in the Aussie Open net for tomorrow. He usually puts them out in the evening, so I'm going to be looking forward to some of those. Made some money on a little fun parlay with a couple of his plays in my foray into tennis today. So I'm going to be trying to do that again tomorrow. So everybody have a great night. Hope you make some money, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies, count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.